Praise the Lord, everyone. Glory to God. It's good to be here tonight, as always, and we do this every week, and we're going to do what we always do. We're going to worship God for a while, and then we're going to have a Bible study, but before we begin any of that, we're going to pray. Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for this privilege to be in thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless this service here this night. We pray, Lord, that thy presence would be felt by all who are here and by all who are online and by all who will hear this recording later. We ask, Lord, that thou would do a work in our hearts and in our minds and draw us near unto thee, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would fill us with a desire to worship thee here this day, to truly worship thee, to truly give thee our hearts, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord, for we know that thou seekest such to worship thee. We pray, O God, that each and everything we do here this night would be according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. Bless this service, we pray, and let thy anointing be here. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to open our chorus books and start with number 91 tonight, Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel the life's rugged sea.
Travel the waves, rugged sea.
Turn now to number 83 and sing From the Rising of the Sun, number 83.
From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, thank you.
Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 124 and sing the Garment of Praise. Number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness. Lift up your voice to God. Number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord. Number 44. Praise God. Well, we're on this page anyway. Let's sing number 40. Great is the Lord. Number 40. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Turn now to number 64 and sing Bless the Lord. Number 64.
He hath done great things.
Praise God. And we're now going to switch over to our Melodies of Praise hymnals. And we're going to turn to number 46 and sing, I Will Praise Him, number 46.
I will praise
Thank the Lord Jesus. Well, it is a wonderful thing to praise the Lord, and I'm thankful to know that that's something we're going to be able to do both now and forevermore. For in eternity, we'll have plenty of opportunity to praise the Lord, and you won't ever want to stop. Glory to God. You know, I'm just really thankful that I was able to sing tonight because I wasn't so sure yesterday. I was eating something on Monday night and ended up coughing while I was eating, and a big chunk of whatever it was got stuck in my throat, and it had been there for quite a while and it was still there yesterday, so I was having some trouble with that, trying to get that cleared out. But thankfully when I woke up this morning it was a lot better, so glory to God for that. And you know, life is full of those little aggravations, but praise the Lord, He always gets us through.
Praise the Lord.
And if you could keep me in prayer, I would appreciate it. I'm about to embark on yet another newsletter. I'm still in the compiling phase, but I plan to start writing within the next few days. And as usual, there's always so much going on in this world. So if you could keep that endeavor in prayer, I would appreciate it so much. And actually, it's going to be the May issue, so we're pretty close to the 40th anniversary of the newsletter, because the very first issue of the Last Trumpet newsletter was written on May 23rd, 1981. So I guess technically that would have been the June 1981 issue, so the next one after this one is going to be the 40th anniversary edition. So praise God, He has really sustained this endeavor, and I know that as long as He's helping us, it's worthwhile. So please keep that in prayer, and thank you very much. All right, we are going to turn this over to Shirley now, and she's going to lead us in a Bible study. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here tonight. Oh, it was a little bit of an unusual day. I saw snow falling from time to time during the day, and there's no evidence of snow at the moment, but it's, been on the colder side for this time of year. But praise the Lord, He's helped us. He's helped us. And, we go through funny things in this world. I know Brother Samuel was talking about getting something lodged in his throat and all that. And last week it was my turn when, I realized I had a cut on the top part of my throat here, or my mouth. And honestly, it was bleeding right at the time we were supposed to be starting our service, and oh my, I just thank God for each and every one of you that helped by praying for me. Praise God, He surely did help me, and I am so thankful. What would we do without our Lord in such times as these? To whom else could we turn? We always have needed Him, but oh my, as we're seeing the events that are unfolding in this world right now, we know that we need Him more than ever. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, He's with us. And here we are tonight. God has given us another opportunity. And praise the Lord, I'm thanking Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad we can praise Him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Him in prayer right now as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we do praise you. We do worship you, Lord. We do magnify thy wonderful, precious name, Lord. Oh, God, we know that we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, God, you've given us hope in this world. Oh, God, you've given us a reason to live, Lord. And, oh, God, we know we could do nothing without you. I just pray, oh, Lord, that you work in our hearts. Oh, God, that you'd help your word to come forth, oh, Lord, with the energy that you would give it, Lord. Oh, the strength, Lord. Oh, God. All right. Oh, Lord Jesus, every detail, Lord. Oh, God, by thy mouth. Oh, Lord, by thy inspiration, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I ask that you would speak through me and help me, Lord. Oh, God, that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, Talk to our spirits, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, oh, God, to give in to thy still small voice that speaks to our soul, Lord. Help us to listen to you, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be inspired. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to take heed while we yet can. Oh, Lord Jesus, talk to us tonight, Lord. You know every need of your people, Lord, and I just pray that you would be here, that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you transform us also by thy wonderful spirit, Lord. Oh God, that we might overcome this world in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, give us that kind of strength. Fill us with thy Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray that you move here tonight. Oh God, again, Lord, that you meet the needs of your people, Lord, that you'd help those that are, oh God, of need of a touch from thee, Lord. Oh God, whatever it is, the spirit of heaviness, Lord, depression, oh God, sickness and pain, oh Lord, oh soreness, Lord, all kinds of infirmities, God, thou knowest. I pray that you give us that overcoming strength, oh Lord, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, that we would feel thy touch. Oh Lord, thy strengthening, thy spirit, oh Lord, that you'd move here tonight. Oh God, with your stripes we are healed, and I pray that you work here in a mighty way. I pray that your still small voice would speak to our souls so that you'd help this word to go forth as thou would ordain it. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, oh Lord, I give this service to you and ask you to strengthen me, Lord, and oh God, talk through me in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm very glad that we can talk to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Rob and Sister Tori, too, have asked that we would hold them up in prayer. A car hit them a couple days ago. It ran a stop sign, and it seems that their car was totaled, and Rob and Tori are pretty sore from all of that. And they have asked that we would pray for them and ask that God would help them. They did find a car today, and that was good news. And I just believe that God's going to give them strength and help them through this difficulty. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Last week I began what I thought was going to be a series, perhaps, or even a 2-3 week thing. I had called it Getting Ready to Meet the King, and I didn't really finish it. But it came to my attention that there were some questions and some needs to go over some of the details. And I must admit, been talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost quite a bit lately, but you know, it's been very much on my heart, and for the longest time I thought I was going to bring forth a message and you know, call it "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Well, praise the Lord, here we are tonight. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. How we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost baptism as we are getting ready to meet the King. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our wonderful God who is coming again. And as we see all these things unfolding upon this earth, we know that the coming of our Lord is nigh at hand. Praise the Lord. And how important it is for us to enter in at the straight gate, and that need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by going to Luke, the 3rd chapter here. Praise the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 3, praise our Lord, and then we're going to go into the chapter just a little bit. Praise God. Luke Let's look at verse 16. John the Baptist is preaching, and this is what he's saying to the people. Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. John baptized the people who repented with a baptism unto repentance. But he is proclaiming here in this third chapter of the book of Luke that there is one who is coming who is mightier than he is. And he says, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. Oh my, and then he says, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came upon the scene then. And praise the Lord, oh yes. He began his ministry to introduce the kingdom of God to the people, the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, he taught them that after he ascended, he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the very end of the book of Luke. Let's go to the 24th chapter. Certainly we've been here before, but we're going here again. Luke chapter 24. And these are the words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. Praise the Lord. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then verse 45, praise the Lord, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord. Yes, his final words here before he ascended, because it tells us in verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I would hope, you know, before we leave this world, if there are words that yet need to be said to clarify anything or to make things right, that we would have such an opportunity. And I'm sure here it was Jesus before he ascended into heaven that, oh my, he wanted his disciples, those that had followed him, to know specifically what he expected them to do thereafter. And of course, he brings forth the gospel. Oh yes. That need for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and therefore the preaching that would come forth, that of repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus, to be preached in all nations, he said. And I just change the order of that just a little bit, not changing what he said. It specifically says in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And then he indicated beginning at Jerusalem. And they were to be witnesses of these things. Praise the Lord, those that were with him, those that had followed him, those that were his disciples. Oh, being under his discipleship, under his discipline. And of course, verse 49 again, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I believe I mentioned last week that word endued. I like that word because it means to be clothed upon. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, Jesus had told them he was going to leave. He couldn't be with them continuously and in the flesh, that is. But he was not going to leave them comfortless. No, he was going to come and make his abode with them. He was going to send back his Spirit. That Spirit of truth that would come and dwell in their very beings. Praise the Lord. He was going to empower them with the gift of the Holy Ghost so that they might go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord. And go forth with power. Oh yes, in the strength of his might. Amen. And oh yes, doing the very same things that he had done because he was going to enable his people with the Holy Ghost baptism with that power from on high. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. And so, yes, we realize it happened. And we see that account in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, how he had descended into heaven after he spoke those words and, you know, just stated just a little bit differently in the first chapter of Acts. But very, very similar. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together here in Acts 1, this is, with them commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it tells us in verse 6 here in Acts 1, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, that had been a point that they had not understood. But we know as Jesus told Pilate there, as he stood in Pilate's judgment hall, his kingdom was not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then should my men fight. But his kingdom was not of this world. No, he had come to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. He had come to bring forth a kingdom that would be in the hearts. And yes, now he was going to send forth his Spirit to guide and to lead his people into all truth. Praise the Lord. And that's a point that they had not understood until Pentecost, I would say. And it tells us in verse 7 here in Acts 1, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that gospel was going to be carried by his disciples, by those that would follow, by the glorious gospel, by the power, the enablement of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord that they would be endued with, praise God. And yes, he spoke these things, which while they beheld, it tells us. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, praise the Lord. And of course, they went to Jerusalem. They went into the upper room there. I believe it was a room in the temple, as far as I know. Oh, and there they abode. He tells us Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. And it tells us in verse 14 in this first chapter of Acts, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I believe he's talking about his biological brothers there in that sense. They were half-brothers, actually, but praise the Lord, they were there in the upper room with his mother, Mary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, they were expecting that power of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And you know, they didn't know how, what manner it would come upon them, or just exactly how it would appear. But there was the spirit of expectation, because Jesus had promised it. And his promises are yea and amen. And therefore they knew that they could stand on that promise and that it was going to come forth. Praise the Lord. I know they had some clues. We went to John, the third chapter, last week. And yes, we read how Jesus talked to Nicodemus, who came to him by night. And of course, you know, Jesus astonished, you could say, Nicodemus by telling him that he had need to be born again. Oh yes, in that third verse of John, the third chapter, Jesus answered and said unto him, that being Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, how do you understand that? Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus goes on to explain a little more. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Of course, we know that when we come into this world, we are born of flesh, you can say. We have, you know, that flesh nature, and yes, we're born as a physical being. But it is until we are truly born again that we are born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And you know, Jesus gave another clue about the Spirit that would come into the beings of his children here. Verse 8 explains, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He is telling Nicodemus in verse 8 that there is going to be a sound that comes forth when you are born again of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Just as when a newborn baby enters into this world, there's generally a cry to indicate that child is alive. You know, you hear a cry as air comes into the lungs of that newborn. And how grateful we are to hear it. But praise the Lord, there's also an evidence when the Spirit of the living God comes into our being. Praise the Lord, and he uses our tongue. that unruly member, oh yes, to let it come forth. Just as he's telling in verse 8 here in John 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's not visible when the Holy Ghost comes into our life, but there is a sound that comes forth to bear evidence that the Holy Ghost has come into our being. Praise the Lord. So we are born again of the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so the disciples were waiting for the Holy Ghost to ascend upon them in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And as it came forth on that day of Pentecost, and I want to say a few things about the word Pentecost. It was a Jewish feast day. The word means 50th, and it indicates 50 days after the Passover. So here we have a sequence. Jesus, after his resurrection, was seen of his disciples for 40 days. And then we have these 10 days to Pentecost. Well, actually, it's not 10 days because he was in the grave. He was in the earth for 3 days. So that gives us a week. That gives us 7 days, I would say, from the 40. And, you know, we've got 50, but 3 days that he was in the grave until he resurrected from the dead. So I believe we have a period of 7 days, a week, that they were waiting in the upper room, in the temple, for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And again, it was promised. And they didn't know, except, you know, that clue, you know, it was going to be a sound from heaven. And it was quite a moment indeed. And we notice the second chapter of the book of Acts, the very first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I know Brother Samuel mentioned this on Sunday, that one accord, all one mind, all together, all expecting the Holy Ghost to fall upon them. And, you know, they didn't know specifically how it would happen. But suddenly, it tells us in verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, as all of this was happening, it tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, oh, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And praise the Lord, we know that each and every one of them was obviously speaking with other tongues. Because as we read the next few verses here, it tells us in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Oh, yes. These 120 approximate people had not been taught these languages. And it was such a marvel to those that were gathered there at Pentecost. Oh, the multitude that came together when this was noise abroad. This was not a quiet experience. No, I believe that, oh yes, as they were glorifying the Lord and praying in other tongues, it became obvious, you know, the sound of it filled that area. And they could all hear them as they gathered, speaking in their own native languages. Oh, what a miracle. Yes, verse 7 says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And you know, you have the believers and you have the doubters. And then, you know, likewise on Pentecost, those that were amazed and in wonderment and you know, wondering what this meant. And those that, you know, doubted and, you know, wanted to put the negative on it. These men are full of new wine. That's got to be the explanation. But oh, what a moment it was, because, you know, it is, they were doing something that they had not been taught to do. They were talking in languages that they had not learned. And they were declaring in those native tongues the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. And here's Peter in verse 14, standing up with the 11. Oh, so anointed by the Holy Ghost, so changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. It tells us he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Then he clarifies it. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, yes, he goes to the second chapter of the book of Joel, verses 28 through 32, and he begins to say, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise the Lord, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the Lord calls us unto repentance. Praise the Lord. And as we heed that call to repentance, we see our need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we have the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yes, Peter is declaring very clearly that what has happened, what that crowd, that multitude of people are witnessing here in the second chapter of the book of Acts, is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel that would come to pass in the last days, the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he was making it clear. He was identifying that which had happened. Oh, yes, those tongues that were coming forth as the outpouring of the Spirit of God as had been prophesied by the prophet Joel. Praise our God. And oh yes, we know he preached unto them. Oh yes, and they were pricked in their hearts. And oh yes, they cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? Of course, in the 38th verse of this second chapter of Acts, then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, it wasn't just for that moment. It wasn't just for those few that were gathered there on that day of Pentecost. But he went on to say in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. Did the Lord call you? Praise the Lord. If he called you, then praise the Lord. I believe in you repented to answer that call. You repented of your sins. You obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so those sins would be remitted in the waters of baptism. And yes, you have been given that promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Yes, and as he was preaching there on the day of Pentecost, tells us in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And my thought is that many of them, maybe most of them, maybe all of them, I don't know, we're not told specifically, came up out of those waters of baptism, speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to guess that that's how it happened. I've seen it happen that way. Not nearly enough, but it has happened. I know Brother Lance, oh yes, the missionary to the Philippines, the evangelist, was here with us at times in the past. He told us, or me, maybe it was me specifically, how that when he was preaching in the Philippines, those people, when they heard the word of God, and they were told that, you know, if you repent of your sins and obey this command to be baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, he said they came up out of the water speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord as the Holy Ghost baptism came on them. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, when people have faith, when people have repented, the Lord knows how to pour out his Spirit. And he will. Amen. Because it is a promise. Not only for them on the day of Pentecost, but it was to their children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go with you now to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. We know that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of God. And what we see Peter doing on the day of Pentecost, we see him opening up the door of salvation to the people. He was the spokesman. He had been anointed by God to go forth and declare the gospel and the way to God. Amen. And that's what he was doing in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Praise the Lord. That's what he was doing. He's opening the door. Now let's go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, we had been told in Acts 1:8 that they would receive power after that. The Holy Ghost had come and they were going to be witnesses. And first it was mentioned, Jerusalem. And then Jesus said in verse 8, chapter 1, in all Judea. And then in Samaria. And then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we see how that pattern was followed. If we go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we see how the gospel is going forth into Samaria. Praise the Lord. And yes, it already had been spreading. It tells us as we begin this chapter, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And yes, we're talking about the death of Stephen, the deacon that so boldly stood up and taught the gospel. And they stoned him, therefore. But anyway, it tells us, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so we're seeing in this first verse that God is using persecution in that sense that it scatters the believers to go beyond Jerusalem. And it tells us it spreads them, it scatters them throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles who were still at Jerusalem. And it continues here to tell us, verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. He was the first martyr of the early church here, and oh my, what a moment that must have been. You know, he stood so strongly for the cause of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, that seventh chapter of the book of Acts is his message, his sermon, and oh, it's a history lesson. It's so filled with inspiration, and of course it was the Holy Ghost that was talking through this man. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it tells us that he was so full of the Holy Ghost, you know, that as, you know, they were stoning him, he looked up into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord, the authority of the Spirit of the living God. And he had that glimpse as they were casting stones at him. Oh my, you know, or perhaps it was just prior to the moment when they stoned him. But anyway, it was leading up to that moment when he would leave this earth. And as he left this world, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he also prayed that 60th verse of Acts 7, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And it tells us, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. Praise the Lord. So he had been stoned. And yes, they buried him and made great lamentation over him. But Saul of Tarsus, verse 3, it tells us, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and failing men and women, committed them to prison. Oh, he was, you know, just with all his strength going after the Christians, thinking he was doing Godspeed, but oh my, causing great distress and sorrow to the church of the living God. But this scattered them. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And I love it. You know, the devil perhaps thought that persecuting the church would stop the movement. But instead it spread it beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea. And now we find ourselves in Samaria here in this eighth chapter of the book of Acts. So here we have one of the deacons, Philip, going forth to preach Christ. Verse 5 here tells us, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And verse 8 tells us, and there was great joy in that city. Okay, so let's just pause. The Lord is working in a mighty way in this city of Samaria as Philip is preaching Jesus Christ unto the people. And they're listening, they're receiving it with one accord. They're giving heed to the things that Philip is teaching. And there are miracles that are coming forth. They're hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And specifically it mentions unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, coming out of many that were possessed with devils, and many that had been taken with palsies, and those that were lame were being healed. Praise the Lord. The Lord was working in a mighty way. They were receiving the gospel. Praise the Lord. And there was great joy in that city. And then it goes on to talk about one who was a sorcerer. It tells us in verse 9, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. But when they believed, Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women." So their background was that they had been under the influence of this Simon, the sorcerer, this witch, who had, you know, been very influential to these people. And, you know, they all had given heed to him in the past, and they thought that the miracles that he did, the bewitching that he did, was of the power of God. But oh my, Philip came and preached Jesus Christ. And oh my, they began to see and understand things. And this man was being exposed for his witchcraft, you could say. And so as they're hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things concerning the kingdom of God, as verse 12 tells us, they were baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ, obviously, both men and women. And even Simon began to understand. Tells us in verse 13, "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." So these miraculous things are happening. And yes, they have received the gospel. At this point, they have received it. They have obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And even Simon saw that. But, you know, he's wondering, you know, what is the power behind this? He hasn't fully repented, in my opinion, as we continue this chapter. But anyway, he's looking, and, you know, what is in the heart eventually comes out. But, you know, word came back to the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, as verse 14 begins to tell us. When they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. And so they sent unto them Peter and John, it tells us, because there was a concern. The Lord was working greatly in the midst of these people. We have signs, we have wonders, we have obedience to the gospel. We have them receiving the gospel and obeying the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But there is a concern as the apostles who were back at Jerusalem began to hear what had happened. They realized, despite the wonderful things that were happening, the great joy in that city, the works of God that were being done, that these people had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Again, like I said, they had obeyed what they knew to obey. There was repentance taking place. And yes, obedience to baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. But none of them had received the Holy Ghost. So, Peter and John were sent to Samaria. Verse 15 tells us, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, it was missing yet, despite the mighty works of God, the great joy in their hearts, all the other manifestations that were going forth, none of them had received the Holy Ghost. So Peter and John were sent there. And of course, we remember Peter had the keys to the kingdom. And here, the gospel has now spread to Samaria. Well, it tells us in verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't tell us specifically details here, but we know the facts being there was the laying on of hands here, and something happened. Oh, there was a manifestation now of the Holy Ghost. It had not happened when they were baptized. It had not happened during the other events that were occurring in this city. But now, with the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost falls upon them. And, you know, it couldn't have been just, you know, a quiet smile on their face. They already were filled with joy. We are told that clearly in that 8th verse. But there is a manifestation, obviously, because Simon, that sorcerer, you know, the one who himself had believed to, you know, the extent that he was also baptized, tells us in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Oh, yes, because yes, there was a great manifestation of the power of the Lord. Now, I'm sure that they were speaking forth in other tongues as the Spirit of God came upon them. And so he saw and witnessed this, and oh, he thought it was wonderful, obviously. And he wanted that kind of power himself so that he could lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. So he offered money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 tells us, though, that Peter rebuked him. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Praise the Lord. But here we see that, you know, those that yet needed the Holy Ghost received it with the laying on of hands. In that second chapter of the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost was initially poured out, they had tarried for the Holy Ghost. They had waited for the Holy Ghost to fall upon them. And so it did. And the day of Pentecost, as we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And here in the 8th chapter of Acts, we realize that they did not receive the Holy Ghost when they were baptized. They had not received it as they were believing God and repenting of their sins. But they received it with the laying on of hands, as Peter and John laid hands on them, and it fell upon them at that moment. And obviously, it was very obvious and conspicuous. There was, you know, an utterance that came forth. There was a manifestation, because Simon, the sorcerer, realized that this was something beyond his capacity that he had ever done in the occult world with witchcraft and all that, that you know had been part of his background. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, it was a genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. We see how the gospel spread to the Gentiles, beginning with Cornelius, a certain man in Caesarea, who was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And this is a wonderful story, how God came to him. He was a zealous man. He was a devout man, it tells us. He feared God with all his house. He had given alms to the people. He prayed to God always. Talk about a genuine person. Talk about somebody who is close to God. But see, you know, that doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. Just because you're dedicated, just because you're devout, you know, you pray all the time. No, you still must be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You still need to give heed to the gospel. Amen. The full gospel message. But this man, his devotion had come up before God, and God had seen that dedication that was in his heart. You know, the Lord told him in a vision that his prayers and his alms had come up to God as a memorial. Reading it as it is in verse 4, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And then he was told what he needed to do yet. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Praise the Lord. Oh, how God uses people to share the gospel. The angel could have told him, but God chose to let the word be spread by the mouth of human beings. Praise the Lord. And you know, so Cornelius, you know, calls servants to of his household servants and a devout soldier to go forth and find Simon Peter. Amen. And in the meantime, God has to open up Simon Peter's understanding, because, you know, he was going to send him to the Gentiles. And you know, Peter being very Jewish, you know, had no dealings with the Gentile people. So, you know, God had to give Peter that vision. And that's, you know, an amazing thing. God knows how to prepare our steps, how to order our steps, how to get us ready for the things that we need to do. You know, he gives us enablement. And surely, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an enablement from God. It's that power that we need to shine as a light in this world, to be a witness, to help us to overcome this world. You know how we need it. Jesus would not have sent it forth had it been, you know, a thing that you could take or leave. No, he knew that we needed power to overcome the world, the devil, the flesh, these hindrances that we are encumbered with since we live in this world at this present time. So God prepared Peter with that vision, that sheet that came down from heaven. Heaven opened and there was this vessel that came down, great sheet that, you know, was knit at the four corners, and on that sheet were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things that fouled the air. And the voice saying to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Of course, Peter couldn't imagine. He was Jewish, and, you know, there was a dietary code. And so he said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But that voice spake to him again the second time, told him, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common, and that was done 3 times. And then the vessel was received up again into heaven. Well, Peter didn't understand what was going on, why God gave him this vision. But as he was pondering it, doubting in himself what it meant, behold, there came that knock at the door. And pretty soon everything was going to be clarified. It was all going to come together. And he was going to understand why God had given him this vision. And, you know, as you know, he was coming down and you know, thinking on the vision. Spirit of the living God talked to him and said, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Oh, praise the Lord. And there it was, those men that Cornelius had come, sent to come forth to find Peter. And praise the Lord, it all begins to unfold as they tell Peter how that vision was given to Cornelius and how he had been told very specifically to come seek him in Joppa. And he, you know, that, you know, he would tell them what they needed to do. Oh, yes, to find the living God. Amen. So praise the Lord. It all unfolds, and Peter does go with them into Caesarea. And, you know, when he arrives there, what a man, what a thing, what a sight. You know, Cornelius is waiting for them, and he has called together his kinsmen and his near friends, and you know, it's a crowd in the house. Obviously, all those that were dear to Cornelius were called there together, because Cornelius was anticipating something great, something wonderful. God had given him that vision, and he knew, oh, there was going to be something wonderful that would come forth from it. So Peter came in, talked with Cornelius. He found many that were come together. And, you know, Peter kind of explains, you know, his past. You know, and it had been an unlawful thing, you know, that a man is a Jew to keep company with somebody of a different nation. But God had showed him already that he should not call any man common or unclean. And you know, that realization that God isn't a respecter of persons, as you know, Peter begins to preach in that 34th verse here in this 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh yes, everything unfolds. Cornelius tells Peter why he sent for him and how God had dealt with him, how God gave him the vision while he was praying in his house and told him to send for one named Peter who was dwelling at Joppa at that moment. Yes, how it all unfolded. And verse 34 tells us how Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And oh yes, he began to declare the wonderful works of God to this man who feared God, who had been devout. Oh, a very sincere man who was doing everything he knew to do to serve God. And here it was, it tells us, as Peter was preaching unto him the glorious gospel, verse 44, that the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Verse 45 tells us, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know? Oh, I thank God. Oh, what a wonderful event Peter had not yet finished his message. He was still preaching, and the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, astonishing those that had come to preach the gospel, those of the circumcision. And they knew that it was the Holy Ghost. There was no denying it. For verse 46 tells us, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, it was so clear and obvious. They could hear them speak with other tongues and magnify God as they spoke forth. They had not yet been baptized yet. But yet that Holy Ghost was poured out upon these God-fearing people. Praise the Lord, God working his plan and, yes, bringing the glorious gospel, the message of Jesus Christ now to the Gentile people. Oh, praise the Lord. The will of God, oh, yes, that it should be preached in all the world, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise our God. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we have this very clear understanding here in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. The 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we have Paul passing through the upper coast on his missionary journey, and he came to Ephesus, it tells us in the first verse of Acts 19, and here he found certain disciples. And as he found these disciples, he asked them a question. He said unto them, verse 2, Acts chapter 19, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, these disciples of John the Baptist obeyed the gospel readily. Here tells us in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost came upon them. First, they obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And notice, they had already been baptized with John. Was that not yet sufficient? You know, do they need to be baptized again? Well, it's insisted upon. Paul clearly commanded it. You know, it wasn't a debate. It wasn't a thing of question. No, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the scripture. Yes, to be obedient to the gospel message. And they don't hesitate. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. And yes, they could tell that the Holy Ghost came upon them. Praise the Lord, because they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. Praise the Lord used that tongue, oh, to come forth to declare the wonderful works of God. It was evidence that the Spirit of the living God had come into their life. Oh yes, that they were being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. That they were, oh yes, being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Yes, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And you see that, you know, the speaking with other tongues is consistent here. It isn't always said precisely, but we can follow through with the scripture where it is declared very clearly. And, you know, therefore, I believe it's a clear indicator that that was the way that it happened consistently in the early church. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. I also want to talk about Saul of Tarsus. We read there where, you know, he had been breathing out slaughtering and threatenings and, you know, coming against the Christians there previously in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. But here in the 9th chapter of Acts, we see that Saul, who becomes Paul, he's still going through that trend where that's his heart to go come against the disciples of the Lord Jesus and threaten them and bring them before the high priest and all to be committed most likely unto prison. So here it is. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh my, Saul did not realize who Jesus was. But here, oh yes, he's trembling, he's astonished. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He tells us in verse 7, And when the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, they saw no man, but they were led by the hand and brought him into this Damascus. And praise the Lord, there's one that God has prepared. His name is Ananias. And oh yes, the Lord tells him that he is going to pray for one called Saul, who is persecuting the church of the living God. And praise the Lord, when it came forth, I know I'm running out of time, verse 17 tells us, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, obeying what God had told him to do. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It tells us in verse 18, And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. You know, it doesn't tell us specifically that he spoke in other tongues, but you know what? I know Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, praise the Lord, was a tongue talker. Oh, yes, he told the church at Corinth in his epistle to that church in 1 Corinthians, that 13th chapter, he told them that he spake in tongues more than they all. Oh, yes, he told them. He clarified it very clearly. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 14. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Of course, he's explaining that in the church he would rather speak 5 words with understanding so that people might perceive what is needed to be brought forth, so that they can obey, so that they can be taught. But oh my, he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Very obviously, I clearly believe there in that 9th chapter of the book of Acts that, oh yes, when Ananias prayed for him, oh, to receive his sight, that, oh, not only did his eyesight come back, but I believe that spiritual, oh, infilling of the Holy Ghost came upon him. I believe he spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about it here in 1 Corinthians 14. And of course, that's a study in itself. As you know, we could talk about the gift of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, he's explaining, oh, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And as we use it for the kingdom of God's sake, oh, yes, it can be so needful. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. So many times then there are things that we can't understand and comprehend and even know how to pray. Praise the Lord, we can pray in the Spirit. And the Lord uses those tongues, oh yes, to clarify situations, to give understanding, oh, to bring about what is needed, oh, to answer the cry of the heart. Oh, the Lord knows. Oh yes, He has sent forth the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And I am so thankful that as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for them at that time. It just wasn't for the Samaritans. It wasn't just for Cornelius and his household, the Gentiles there at that time. But oh yes, as Peter said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. The gift of the Holy Ghost is for His people. It's for us today. Oh, yes. If we'll ask of the Lord, He will fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. I had many other things that I wanted to say, and perhaps the Lord will give me yet opportunity to go forth and even give more examples. But praise the Lord, I clearly believe that when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's obvious, it's clear. We speak forth in other tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost, as they did in Samaria, as they did in the household of Cornelius. Oh yes, as they did in Ephesus, in all the other places where the gospel was preached. Praise the Lord, it's not for just that time period. No, it's for all that the Lord our God shall call. And praise the Lord, if you haven't received it yet, open up your mouth wide, believe the Lord. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, so often it falls when we're praising Him. Oh, when we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So many times that's when it falls, when our hearts are dwelling on the things of God. Praise the Lord when we're worshiping Him in spirit and truth. But praise the Lord, it's for all that the Lord our God shall call. If you've obeyed the gospel, oh, to the extent that you repented and were baptized in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost is yet for you if you have not yet received it. Oh, yes, it is. I've seen many people receive it. And I believe in that there's going to be a greater outpouring of the Spirit of God for those that seek His face. Amen. Yes, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's for all of us. Oh, I praise the Lord. I thank God. It's a wonderful thing when He takes that unruly tongue and we speak forth the wonderful praises of God in a language that we have not learned of our own ability. praise our God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 7 and sing Let the Holy Ghost Come In, number 7.
You be redeemed from every inbred sin. Have the Holy Spirit constantly within. Make the consecration, trust in God and men. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God and men.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.